There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns are toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out an all-point bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
And yes, we are back. Let me make sure. Oh boy, these are different headphones here. It is, what is today? Today's the 19th, isn't it? It is Monday, the 19th of July, 2010. I am Dutch Jones, and sure, it does seem like a long time ago that we did the last show. We didn't do a show Friday, so that was Thursday, and the Thursday show ran all weekend. Olima was saying there, it sure seems like a long time ago. It does. You know, just, let's see, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So it's 4 days ago, I guess, since we did our last show. But we're coming to you live right now, right here, from Cahuilla, California, in Central California, just outside the gates of Sequoia National Park. And we do this Monday through Friday, usually, unless something comes up, from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. every day, Monday through Friday. And at 6 p.m., we are picked up also by the Liberty Tree Radio folks. And they retransmit, restream, whatever it is they do over there, they redo it with us and send us out. And it's just a daily effort to try and get information out, to try and spread the holy cause of liberty, to spread the militant worldview from a Christian standpoint, the Christian militant worldview. And we keep doing it with your help, the listeners that pray for us, support us financially. We keep up on the web. We keep stuff paid for, and we keep doing it. And it's fun, and I like doing it, and it's worth it. We had a person, although he doesn't listen to the show, somebody posted information about the show on, of all places, InfoWars, and they showed up to church on Sunday, and it was a really nice family, a husband and wife, and I think it was three or four kids. And they went to church with us Sunday morning. They had chow with us, and then they trained with, you know, they sat in the class, you know, that we offered on hygiene, which was a very good class. And so it's nice. Then we had another family that they have a vacation home in the area, and they came out. So we had two new families coming to church with us on Sunday, and that was nice. That was a blessing. That makes everything worth it. I'm just surprised somebody posted our stuff up on InfoWars, because sometimes, I mean, I don't do it a lot, but I'm not a great big huge fan of Alex Jones. I mean, I know he has his purpose in the cause. Is it working fine, Lou?
Yeah, it's gonna play. They didn't upload an AM.
Okay, that's okay. Just making sure everything worked. Hey, Rocky's in the room. Olima, 38 Special, Lost Soul, Min Patriot, and two Dutch Jones. It's the first time we haven't had a bunch of guests in here. It's kind of weird. Kind of strange. Yeah, Rocky Hill Ranger is saying that in the class we learned that Lou has stinky feet. Actually, Lou, I think he hardly ever wears shoes. He's like Tom Sawyer. Problem is his feet aren't very tough. But as soon as he gets in the house, he starts to disrobe and lay around in his underwear, so he never has shoes on or anything. Exciting moment last night, and Rocky will get a kick out of this. Right after you left, I mean like 30 seconds after you left, Stacy and I were heading into the house, and I just about stepped on a rattlesnake right inside the enclosed porch. It was making the noise, though. It was doing the tss noise. Sounded like an aerosol can. And I go, Stacy, that's a rattlesnake somewhere in here. And since we're moving, I had put a canvas bag that had a tent in it and then some clothes and another duffel bag and just set them on the porch. Well, I started yanking stuff out. I had put the flashlight in my teeth 22 pistol in my right hand and started grabbing stuff with my left hand and throwing it out. And there it was in the corner, about a little 3.5-foot-long rattlesnake. I emptied the magazine into it. We had 9 rounds in the magazine, and hit it 3 times in the body, once in the head. But for good measure, I cut its head off with a shovel, buried the head, and then I put the body in our driveway. And it took less than 12 hours for the meat bees to strip it down to nothing but bones and skin. I'm amazed at these things. And we call them meat bees. You probably don't know what they are. They're like a yellow jacket, and they're like piranha with wings, and they will strip anything down. Let's see, what do we got here? Olima says, how did the nah, it's too small to eat. There wasn't much meat on it. It was really skinny. It was just a baby. Somebody's saying I should have ate it. Asking about my foot at the VA. That's right. Friday I had to go to the VA. I forgot to tell. I forgot that's why I wasn't on Friday. I have a little, about 2 to 3 millimeter tear in my Achilles tendon. And the doctor said it looks like it's healing, but I got to wear a brace for another 2 weeks from Friday. But and now I've got no pain in it at all. It's just a dull throb. And I can I've taken the brace off and walked around the house a little bit on it on the carpet. And it just kind of hurts a little bit if I put a lot of weight on it. But you know how they always give you, on a 1 to 10, how is it? I said, it's like a 1. It's more of a discomfort. But that was good. So she said, just keep the brace on, baby it, and lose some weight. That's what she always says when I was in there. Yeah, Rocky will say it was in the porch. If you're looking at the door, it was in the lower left-hand corner of the door in that corner. And the funny part was, I emptied 9 rounds into it, and Lou, who was in bed already, as I'm trying to make sure it's dead, he swings the door open, hits me with the door, and pushes the... And the snake is still kind of... still got some life in it at this point. Starts to go in the door, and there's Lou in his bare feet. So I slammed the door on Lou and told him to shut the door. I go, why did you come out there? He goes, I heard people popping balloons. I'm like, well, then why did you come straight out the front door without saying you were coming out or checking it? Good trainable moment, teachable moment. You got to train your kids how to react in case you do have to fire a weapon. I mean, it could have, if it had been, you know, a giant bat I was fighting, he just wandered right into the battlefield. And if I had been firing and he opened that door a little bit more, he could have got shot in the lower legs. So train your kids. Train them. I mean, I try. I do the best I can. But you still got to try and hope they listen. You know, you think you hear something weird, figure out what it is. You don't rush in. You know the saying, fools rush in where angels fear to tread. And it's important that you do that. I mean, Stacy just fell back. She hates snakes as much as I hate spiders. She was in the back of the driveway going, ew. So, I let it sit out there as a reminder to other snakes. So in the after doing that last night, that was about 9:30, 10 o'clock last night. I wanted to, I'm like, man, there's got to be something we can do. Because the people who lived in the house before us, they had a snake come into the shower with their teenage daughter. A rattlesnake came through a little hole in the roof, and all they need is a quarter-inch crack or opening. They can flatten their bodies out and get through it. And I'm thinking this house may be on a snake pit or something. So I went online, and everything that everybody claimed worked for snakes, when I did the research, it turned out it was just an old wives' tale. There's not even snake repellents, really. People have tried everything for years, and nothing works. So the best thing you can do to protect your house is seal it up and seal it, and they won't get in. But this just probably walked right up the front steps. And then it's a little tiny enclosed porch that is at a right angle to the front door. You know, kind of like, we used to call them storm porches back in Colorado, so you can keep your dirty boots out there and your smelly work clothes. You know, you disrobe out on the work porch and then come in and take care of that, you know. But now I'm keeping a shovel by the front door. Let me tell you something. A 22 pistol, a short barrel 22 pistol and a flashlight in the dark is not an effective way to dispatch a rattlesnake. Now, even if it had been bigger, I probably still would have missed it more than I hit it. Now, I used to carry around birdshot with my .45. That's right, they do make like these little shotgun shells for .45s. I used them all up killing rattlesnakes in the previous year, so I need to get some more. But the best number one thing, growing up as a kid, my father, uncles, everybody, a big old shovel that's sharpened, and you just bash them down. Now, I had a German Shepherd named King. No, he wasn't named King. That was another dog. His name was Baron. He had about 7 or 8 bites on him. He was immune to rattlesnake bites, but he got the scarring. And that dog hated rattlesnakes. And he would grab them and throw them in the air, which was great if you weren't standing around him. But half the time, he wouldn't get them by the head. He would just grab that rattlesnake, throw it up. So you'd go running because you don't know where it's going to come down at. But so we had to put him on a leash. He could find rattlesnakes for us, and then we'd cut their heads off with shovels or sharpened hose and stuff like that. Yeah, 22 caliber rat shot, that would have probably helped in the smaller quarters. Because I was only 5 to 6 feet away from it. Because pretty much people think, you know, they can strike at any time. If they're stretched out, they can't strike. But if they start to back up at any point and there's a kink in the snake, they can force their body forward. And the distances, everybody's like, oh, a snake can lunge twice its length. I don't know what the math is on it, but if a snake's ready to lunge, you better be out of the way. Now, I've never been bitten by a rattlesnake. Well, that's not true. I have been bitten by rattlesnakes, but they never got through the gaiters or the boot. I got a rattlesnake bite at my boot about 6 months ago up here. And I killed it with a weed eater, a gas-powered weed eater, and just let it have it. Now, if you look at, you know, we all carry rattlesnake bite kits. I got one on my belt right now. And there's one thing you got to remember: don't put ice on them. Not sure why, but I was relooking at all the first aid stuff. No ice on it. But if you've got first aid kits, if you've got rattlesnake bite kits, get them out and read them ahead of time. It's always good to do. But I forgot where I was going with this. Killing them was always easier for me when I was younger. Now it's a little, you know. But the good news is I don't weigh 114 pounds. That's when I used to get them all the time. And if they bite somebody, you know, large like myself, the greatest risk is blood clots, is a clot going to the brain. I did first aid. Well, he refused first aid. The guy got bit 3 times by the same snake, it turned out, and they will bite multiple times. Died in the waiting room of a clot to the brain because he just was stupid. Ghost Shadow says, remove their food source, small rodents, then seal the structure and keep a 20-foot cleared perimeter. Yeah, that's what everything I said that. And that we keep 100-foot cleared around our structures. We weed eat. The rodents, yeah, we do what we can for the rodents. King snakes do go after rattlesnakes. We saw a king snake not long ago. Let them live. I have heard, where I grew up, bull snakes. I don't think they have bull or gopher snakes here, the big ones. But I don't know if they're big enough to do it. It said cats and turkeys will repel rattlesnakes. Well, all day long the cats were staying off the porch. That's why there was a rattlesnake on it. It probably, because it got really hot. It was up to 107, and I think it just wanted to cool, because the cool air from our water cooler, what are you calling it, the swamp cooler, was pushing air out into the door, and that's where it was, right by the door. So I think it was looking for that. But the turkeys, there were turkeys all over. We've got like 50 turkeys that free range around this neighborhood. And hopefully that's true, but we probably have more. But where there's one rattlesnake, there's usually more. Last year I killed 2, chased off one. One of them I killed in the library. We came home from a Bible study and the cats had it cornered. Again, a very small one. Let's see. He's got another problem. Oh, the problem isn't the stream, Rocky Hill Ranger. The stream actually makes the basement nice and cool. And there's a slab under the house. So, I mean, they're getting in the little cracks, the crevices. There's like a place where the previous residents kept their firewood, and they just like have a piece of plywood over the hole underneath the house. So it's a hazard living up here. The snakes on North Fork, though, are smaller. I saw a large rattler last weekend, the previous Saturday, way up on North Fork, and it was huge. You know, 4.5-5 feet long, big fatty. Kind of like the Rocky Mountain Diamondbacks that I would see as a kid growing up. Now, we've also got the Mojave Green out here, and they're aggressive. I haven't seen them this far north, but on the desert, they'll chase you. I don't know if rattlesnakes are most likely to be found around water. I find them in the desert. I find them on hillsides. I find them everywhere. Now, as Ghost Shadow typed in there, copperheads and cottonmouths, copperheads, water moccasins, all those, they're like Stacy was telling me, you know, she grew up in West Virginia. She was saying that she'd see copperheads everywhere. I know nothing about dealing with those. The rattlesnakes I found have been out in the desert, out in the prairies, up to about 7,000 feet in the mountains. Above 7,000 feet, I've never seen a rattlesnake. This doesn't mean timber rattlers aren't up there, but I just see as a general rule. Any place I go hunting for rabbits out on the prairies where there's no water for miles, it's kind of like a high desert. I'd find rattlesnakes under just about every washtub, every rock, every farmhouse that was abandoned. In fact, I'm not afraid of rattlesnakes because we used to have rattlesnake roundups when we were kids. We'd all make special sticks. It was a broom handle with an eyelet screwed into the end, and string, or usually some type of wire, and we'd catch them. And there were always people in town that wanted to buy them live. You know, we'd put them in a sack and sell them. When I was a kid, I knew a guy who used to make hat bands out of them for you know, bikers and cowboys and stuff. So I grew up around rattlesnakes knowing they were a nuisance. Whenever we went looking for soda cans or, you know, pop bottles in the area dumps, we didn't have big county-run dumps where I grew up in Colorado. The area would pick a ravine and just fill it up, and then the farmers would bury it. You know, we didn't have municipal dumps like they have today. This is back in the 70s. So it wasn't uncommon for my dad to just say, hey, let's go looking for cans or valuables, stuff other people throw away. And we'd find rattlesnakes all the time. We always carried 22 rifles with us. And it wasn't uncommon to step on a rattlesnake and shoot it as fast as you could. You know, I know it sounds like a Pecos Bill kind of story, but it's true. So that's why I have no fear of them, because I understand them. I don't like it when I find them in my house, when I know that I've got kids and friends around that may not be as comfortable around them as I am. Now, another thing that's funny, when I was looking, that everybody said, well, just leave it alone. Just let it live. It eats rodents. I put some stuff up on Facebook about it. And some people were sending me emails, why'd you have to kill it? You know, they get rid of rodents. So I'm like, yeah, next time I catch one, I'll get your address. I'll mail it to you in a bucket. And you can let it go in your backyard with your kids. It's insane, you know. So it was an interesting night. Of course, all my dreams involved fighting giant snakes for to save humanity and that kind of stuff. So it's been kind of aggravating. I didn't get much sleep. Hey, Code 3, haven't seen you in a while. Good to see you here. We also have a guest. We finally have our first guest in here. Guest, if you want to register and chat, you can do that. It's not like we're tracking you or anything. It's just I don't know why you broadcast does it. Maybe they want to send you stuff. Oh, and by the way, everyone that got really vile junk mail from me over the last 4 days for penis enlargement and live streaming pornography and all that stuff, one of our email accounts, thedutchjones.com, got hacked. I shut it down. I changed the password. I stripped out all the addresses because I don't really need those, you know, because I've got them on other ones. But so it was funny. They hacked it. And it was a simpler password. It was just a number string, so it could have just been random. But if you're getting any more email from me that's of an unsavory manner, let me know, because I want to make sure they're not using it anymore. They still haven't been able to crack the Dutch Jones Show one, but they will. I'm already getting a lot of spam on it. I'm getting all kinds of spam on it, you know, from people telling me my great-great Kenyan aunt died and I'm entitled to like $40 billion. Excuse me, having to drink water there. Still hot here. And so it's probably close to being compromised. We change our passwords and everything else pretty regularly, and they're usually weird non sequiturs, so it's not like anything they could derive. You know, I may just look at a sign on the wall and make it whatever, you know, that is backwards or something. So it's not like they could just figure it out. So I'm hoping it's just random stupidity on the internet. But again, my apologies to anyone that got an unwanted email, you know, from me. If it does, usually I put stuff in the subject line that's pretty specific to the cause of liberty, but there you go. In regards to Thursday, I read online a hot news item about some Zetas being killed, and the folks over at Liberty Radio were a little nervous about that. Well, they confirmed it. I confirmed it. I've talked to people over in Arizona, and it was true. But my caveat is, in the heat of battle, things get kind of mixed up a little bit. I wouldn't take it all. But there's no way to confirm that two were killed. There's no way to confirm how many were wounded. But that's what the claim is. But the result of that is pretty cool, is that the Zetas, realize that the Minutemen are serious now. And they realize that they're not just going to walk into this country. And they realize that there's going to be people. If the government's not going to fight for our land, then the people are going to fight for our land. So they put out a warning saying any American seen with a firearm is to be killed. I even got an email today saying that they're threatening on using landmines. And I know the drug lords have unlimited wealth and they can buy whatever they want, but if they're going to be putting in landmines, it's going to make them easy targets. If you've ever been in the military or even you just have common sense to deploy landmines in mass, it takes engineers. So if people down on the border start seeing them, putting in landmines, they're just going to shoot them. Just think about that. The other thing was about, I think it was within the last 3 months, I predicted they would start being suicide car bombs and maybe even suicide bombers in Mexico, just on the person. Well, over the weekend they had a guy who dressed as a police officer, drove a police car up with 6 pounds of some type of explosive, probably plastic or something, took out a police station, killed a couple people, and then they had that other shooting over the weekend where they went to a birthday party. It was a winter theme. From what I was reading, and they killed 17 to 18 people. Just a bunch of guys jumped out of cars and emptied magazines into the crowd. It's now more dangerous to be in Mexico than it is in Baghdad, even out of the green zone. Code 3's got it right in the chat room. There are more beheadings in Mexico than there are in the Middle East, and still they want to do nothing, and we all know why. They want that whole thing to explode down there so they can use it as another excuse to take away our rights. Because somehow, the savagery that goes on in Mexico is regular folks' fault. They're trying to say it's because we're doing all the drugs, we're doing all this, we're doing all that. It goes beyond that. We're not the only nation that buys drugs from Mexico. So we're not the only nation that that is involved in purchasing and transferring their narcotics culture. And if their government really wanted to get rid of their narcotics, they would do that. It's the corruption that's intertwined down there with the government. It's one and the same. It's just like it says in the Bible that, a house divided would not stand. That's why they're having so much trouble, because you've got the government saying the cartels are evil, but the government is the cartels. The high-ranking officials are either in the pocket of or family members or somehow related to every one of the single cartels. And they're just going to keep getting more and more violent, because we need our own version of the Palestinians. In order for them to lock down this nation, in order for the New World Order and Zog and all those guys to take away what few rights we have left, there has to be a big, bad, violent wolf in the woods ready to tear our throats out. And it doesn't matter if we legalize drugs in America. It doesn't matter if we open our borders completely and give amnesty to 20 million people. The violence in Mexico is going to get worse because greed is behind it. The love of money is the root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. Now, when you get past love and it's an insatiable desire like these governments and corrupt narco-terrorists have, nothing's going to stop them. Even if they legalize drugs, they'll still want their part of it. And all the legalization of drugs does, and I'm not for or against legalization of drugs. I could care less. If people want to waste their life, let them do it. Get them out of my way faster. It's just going to mean more corruption. That's like saying, well, they legalized alcohol. Did that get rid of alcoholism? Did the legalization of alcohol get rid of alcoholism? No. Did it get rid of the violence directed around alcohol? Well, yeah, immediately it did. In the short run, it did. It just consolidated it into the pockets of certain corporate princes and kings. That's all it did. Do we want more of that? Do you want more corporate slavery? So, no. It's going to fall apart. And I know it sounds negative, but in a way, it can't get better unless it does fall apart. I mean, the entire world, not just Mexico and us. I mean, the entire situation. We have to lose more liberty before the idiots will wake up and join us. We have to lose our right to have firearms before most Americans will realize that there seriously is a threat. Now, the good news is a lot of us have been doing this long enough that we're set. We're squared away. We got our ducks in a row. All we're doing now is adding a couple more ducks and making the row longer and maybe keeping the ducks clean. But the question about the unwashed masses is, when will they come over to our side? How much more is it going to take? I'm of the belief that the American people are willing to surrender every right they have as long as they can watch NASCAR and take their kids to soccer on Sunday, unfettered. But what they don't realize is that when they lose all their rights, they're not going to be allowed to do any of that. And I'm not even going to get into the Christian side of it today and how annoying these modern churches are. I'm going to talk about just regular Joe and Jane public and their little kidlings. You know, they see this violence on the news every day. I don't even have television, and I know what's going on because I read the news on the internet. You can imagine what the images look like if they're even reporting it. I think today there were something like 6 shootings in our area. 2 of them are by cops. The cops keep shooting at people and missing. It's weird to me. It's like they're shooting for anything now. Some guy was on a roof with knives and they shot him. Actually, they missed, but they shot at him. He was on a roof with knives. What threat is he on the roof with knives? You know, it's amazing. I had a theory over the weekend that if we take all of America, you know, go to every police department in America and take like 3 of their police officers, give them a bunch of tasers and nightsticks and pepper spray, and send them to Mexico, and let them start doing what they do up here, you know, tasing 80-year-old ladies, shooting little girls in the face. Maybe that'll fix it down there, or not. The other theory I have that I came up with was quarantine the entire nation of Mexico. Just once a month, drop in billions of rounds of ammunition on every major population and let it just destroy itself. Let it eat itself from within. And then after everything's wiped out, everybody's dead, you know, we let the vultures have their week or two to clean everything up, and we just go in and take over their oil wells. Turn it into a giant amusement park for Americans and Europeans. Anyway, we're going to go to a break now, as Lou sits there staring at the screen, ready to fall asleep. We'll be back for the next half hour of the Dutch Jones Radio program. I'll give out the phone number, looking for calls, stuff you're seeing, stuff you're hearing. We'll be back.
It's coming down. Coming down. The new world orders, training armies on our ground. With soldiers dressed in black and blue to aim the crosshairs of their guns at the enemy. I know a man who lives way up in Idaho, whose sole desire was only to be left alone. One day he sold a so-called friend a gun. One day the federal troops showed up and shot his wife and son. It's coming down, it's all around. The new world orders, training armies on our ground. Stormtroopers dressed in black and blue to aim the crosshairs of their guns at me and you. Way down upon a Waco, Texas farm, I saw the lawless law there flex its long lean arm. Before the sealed search warrants could even be served, the ATF shot up the place.
some not what they deserve. It's coming down. It's in your town. The New World Order's training armies on our ground. Stormtroopers dressed in black and blue. I bet their leaders think they're fooling me and you. Foreign troops, they train upon American soil. They hide and sneak around like snakes that slither and coil. And while the people turn their heads complacently, their federal income tax goes up to fund this tyranny. It's coming down. It's in your town. The New World Order's training armies on our ground. Stormtroopers dressed in blue and black, like the vicious dogs they are.
To Vietnam. Not to destroy freedom, but to defend it. We went to Vietnam not as an aggressor, but to stop aggression. And history will record that the American effort in Vietnam was a good cause, honorably undertaken and honorably ended.
Thank you for listening to the Dutch Jones radio program. And if you get nothing else from our show, there should be two things that you learn. One is, you need to work together with other like-minded people. And number two, you need the basic equipment to keep from becoming a refugee. So whether you're looking for a water filter, tactical gear, surplus gear, or just want to look into some new survival equipment, you need to check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. We carry surplus, and we carry new lines from MilSpec and Voodoo Tactical. And if you don't see it on our website, please send us a message and we'll find it for you. So if you're going to need the gear anyway, why not buy it from us? You'll get it for cheaper than you will from the source, and it'll help out the ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So whether you're new or been in this for a while, check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk.
Gun.
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
Put out all points, boom. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order.
A new world order.
A new
world order.
Attention.
Attention.
Government is
an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Shut back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Jones Radio Program.
And now for something completely different.
Here it is, the 21st of July, 2010. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program for today. It's Monday. If you're listening live, it's about 5:35 p.m. on Monday. If you would like to call in, and it's live, you can give me a call at 559-561-8225, 559-561-8225. There is a chat room, and we have some folks in there, and that's if you go to ubroadcast.com and check, or just search for Dutch Jones, you'll find it. And also there's a Facebook page, which I'm going to check here because a lot of the listeners come up on and IM me on Facebook and that kind of stuff. The email is DutchJonesShow@yahoo.com. That's DutchJonesShow@yahoo.com. And we're just talking a little bit over the break about how law enforcement officers are different today than they were before. And, I mean, it's like, I can't believe how many times they're drawing weapons in Fresno or Madera or some of the towns around here and just shooting at people while they're running away. I mean, in the last week, I've seen three stories reported where, well, we thought he was a violent offender and he may have had a gun, and so we shot at him. You know, I'm like, can you imagine if you were a civilian and you said, well, I thought the guy was a hostile guy, I thought he had a gun, he was running away and I shot at him. Especially in this state, like moving vehicle rules. If you're a civilian and someone's trying to run you over the vehicle and you shoot him, the driver, you go to prison for like second degree murder if he dies. Law enforcement, if a car lurches, everyone in the apartment, you know, every officer empties his pistol into the car in California. The law is that a human being is more nimble than a vehicle, and you can jump out of the way, unless you're a cop. If you're a cop, then you get to kill the person driving the car. I don't understand the double standard. I really don't understand it. They constantly get to use excessive force, excessive violence, to subdue even minor subjects, you know, old ladies, little kids. And the story, it's not just that we have a more invasive media that we find these out and these stories out. Yeah, things did happen. The good old boy cops, you know, in small towns, you know, did things. I saw some of it. I'm not saying it didn't happen, but now it's like accepted conduct for them to, you know, just pull over a car at random and rip everybody out of the car and tear the car apart. And if they find it, they go, "Oh, never mind," and leave you on the side of the road with your belongings all spread out. It was done in good faith. There's a reason I'm not a cop anymore. And I was a military policeman, and then when I got out for a short period of time, I was a civilian law enforcement, and I hated it. Because I saw behind the curtain. I call it the Oz effect. I pulled back the curtain, I saw what was really going on. The racism, the corruption, the double standard, the elitism. And now, young men and women are coming back from Iraq, and the first jobs they're being offered are law enforcement jobs. So you've got someone whose attitude is everybody's a foe. Death can come from any rooftop. We can blow the side of a house out and search it for weapons at any time we want without a warrant, because that's how their rules of conduct are over there, rules of engagement. And then they're sticking them in a squad car over here after 9 weeks at the community college. They're steroidal. They're rage-ridden. Many of them have PTSD, as somebody said in the chat room. And they're letting them be cops. Policy enforcers. Not police officers, they're policy enforcers. They're doing the will of the New World Order. They're fulfilling and doing the bidding of them. Fulfilling the will and following the bidding of the New World Order. And people go, "You're awfully hard on cops. Why do you dislike cops?" Yeah, there may be some good ones. There were some good Nazis too, but you don't hear me going, "Oh, well, let's forgive what the other 98% of the Nazis did." They weren't, you know. There were a couple that were just following along. And yeah, I am comparing cops in America to fascists and the Nazis because they get away with it. They. I mean, for every one that you hear about, where like that cop that got convicted of second degree murder, and which will probably be wiped away. The feds are trying to swoop in. You know, they always like to do that. Another excuse for them to overstep their jurisdictional bounds. But I mean, if you just sit on a single day and just Google police corruption, police abuse, you know, and you look at just where it's going, it's out of control. You have cops in Fresno shooting at people that are running away and not knowing where the bullets go. It addresses several things. One, it addresses their training, that they can't hit a human-sized target while they're chasing it. And you can say, "Oh yeah, it's easy for you to say." No, we train for that. I've trained for that. And even in my worst day, I can still hit what I'm shooting at. Even if it's a rattlesnake in a dark room, you know, and in the middle of the night and I'm trying to get rid of it, I still hit it. So that right there is a powder keg that's waiting to go off. The good news is that most police departments, the people on care more about their pension than they do about serving the public anymore. And that's the reality. They care more about putting in their time and getting their big golden parachute at the end. So there are ways you can get back at them. Here in California, if a person gets three letters of complaint in their file and they're not resolved in the favor of the officer and they stay in there, he doesn't get promoted. He doesn't get overtime. He doesn't get special duty. He doesn't get the vacation times he wants. So anytime you have a problem with an officer, pursue it. Write the letters. And if you have a specific officer in your community that's being annoying, it's pulling everybody over for seatbelt violations, complain about it. Ruin that guy's career. If nothing else, his boss will get tired of having to write letters back. Go to the police review boards if you have one and find out what's really going on, how many abuse cases are being brought against the department. You as a taxpayer in that community are paying for it. The cop doesn't pay for it. The union doesn't pay for it. It's the department. When somebody gets, their 16-year-old son gets shot in the back of the head and they win a $3 million lawsuit, whether it was a gangbanger or not, guess where that money comes from? It comes out of your pocketbooks. So you need to find out if you have a police conduct review board or some type of process like that, a complaint board. You need to start going to those meetings. You just need to start taking your citizenship responsibly and standing up for what's going on. And every time you have one of these cops, that a rogue cop that goes bad and ends up killing his wife or something, if you look into it, they've hushed up like 8 or 9 other complaints. Period. End of story. And it's going to get worse. And they're bringing all these grunts, jarheads, special forces, contractors back from the Afghan and Iraqi battle zones. They're going to be out writing you tickets. And they got attitudes, folks. They got attitudes like I've never had to go up against. They think they're supermen. They think the world owes them something. I've gotten into a few arguments at some rallies with just vets. You know, they're mad at me because I'm talking bad about America. I don't know what it's like. I wasn't there. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I don't have to walk a mile in your shoes to know something's wrong. That's like a fish in a fishbowl saying, you don't know me, man. You don't live in my fishbowl. No, I live outside your fishbowl and I see what's going on. I have a mild respect for everyone to start with. But when they get stupid, I can see it in their eyes and they get that hatred for civilians. And now you got these guys being cops. Anyway, I don't want to keep going on the cop bashing thing. Let's bash on Mexico some more. it's almost too easy. Let me take a look here and see if I got any messages on Facebook. Let's see, I got one. Commented on your status. Let's see what that is. Boop, 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 boop. Oh, everybody's commenting on the rattlesnake thing. They're not commenting on... Mike says he was just welcoming you into your new digs. Yeah, that's true. That's all he was doing. Usually if somebody wants to welcome me, they bring something like, you know, a box of candy or power tools. They don't sit at my front door and wait to ambush me and inject me with venom. But okay, yeah, maybe that's what he was doing. Let's see if I can get back over here to the news. Hey, the cap they put on, they're saying it's leaking. The cap in the Gulf on the spewing of oil, and it's leaking, a moderate leak. So that didn't last long. So much for Obongo's little victory. Let's see, oil leak from new cap is not consequential, they're trying to say. Yeah, okay. Let's see, where was it? Okay, I can't find the article I wanted to talk to. Okay, where is it? I got given a movie over while I'm looking for this. I got given a movie called The Green Zone. I had never heard of it, but it was the guy who did the same production company and actor that did all the Bourne movies. It wasn't as exciting as the Bourne movies, but the story was really good as it went into the whole lie about the weapons of mass destruction. I mean, that's an old thing. It doesn't mean we should forget about it. But it was pretty good to see, and then so I did some research afterwards, and the guy that it was based on, the actual warrant officer, was the military advisor for the movie. So I recommend it. That's the Dutch Jones recommendation of the week. If you haven't seen it already, The Green Zone, you should see it. And it's definitely not pro-American militarist. It's not pro-American empire. So, and if you're listening to this and you're one of those God Bless America right or want wrong guys, you're going to hate it. Because it tells the truth. Every war we've been into has been for corporations. It's been for media hype. It's been for reasons that had nothing to do with what every American thought they were for. And we spilled American blood and even more so civilian blood and our enemy's blood for corporations. And it's kind of that kind of twist on it. Okay, here we go. Feds, oil and gas leaking from cap on ruptured well. BP's broken well was leaking oil and gas again Monday for the first time since the company capped it last week. But the Obama administration spill chief said, I love that they have a spill chief. Somebody spills something in the kitchen, he's there. Has no cause for alarm, says there's no cause for alarm. The stopper was left in place for now, and they spelled place PLAC. Ever since the cap was used to bottle up oil last week, engineers have been watching underwater cameras and monitoring pressure and seismic readings to see whether the well could hold or spring a new leak, perhaps one that could rupture the seafloor and make the disaster even worse. You know, that's the thing they're not telling you guys about. Now, if you do some digging and you go behind it, that was one of the fears, is that it would just rupture the seafloor and oil would be coming up in 1,000 places instead of one. They're playing with a lot here, and I know for a fact, just because I don't trust them, that none of the cards are really on the table. Let's see. Small amounts of oil and gas started coming from the cap late Sunday, but we do not believe it is consequential at this time, says retired Coast Guard Admiral Thad Allen. Also, seepage from the seafloor was detected over the weekend less than 2 miles away, but Allen said it probably has nothing to do with the well. Oil and gas are known to ooze naturally from fissures in the bottom of the Gulf of Mexico. At an afternoon briefing in Washington, Allen said BP could keep the cap closed at least another 24 hours as long as the company remained alert for leaks. BP and the government had been at odds over the company's desire to simply leave the cap in place and employ it like a giant cork in a bottle until a relief well could being drilled deep underground can be used to plug up the well permanently. Allen initially said his preference was the pipe was to pipe oil through the cap to tankers on the surface to reduce the slight chance that the buildup of pressure inside the well could cause a blowout. Remember I said that the pressure was going up? I'm like, well, what does that mean? What happens when you put a pot on the stove and you start boiling? Eventually the pressure goes up and it blows the cap off. Starts the lid dancing, right? They're not applying any common sense to any of this. There's little bubbles rising up frequently that's methane gas. Oil could be a little black dot, more difficult to see, but both escape into the water regularly. So, you know, naturally oil leaks, you know, and I believe that. I don't think they're lying about that. Somewhere between 94 million and 184 million gallons of oil have gushed into the Gulf since this thing first went into disaster mode. And weirdness there. I mean, do you know that they were arresting people for making berms on their own beaches? People that went out and built berms to protect their property from the onslaught of the oil are being arrested and threatened with environmental law violations because they're building berms on a beach. Here's the other thing that's coming out of this little research that I'm doing. The communities and the municipalities and the government agencies that are building berms, and they basically move the beach out farther. Do you understand what I'm saying? If they go out at low tide and build a berm, put up a natural levee or a dike, if you would, that from where the shore used to be to where that new levee is, that land now belongs to the government. So all those rich people that had beachfront property on the Gulf Coast are now landlocked. Do you understand what I'm saying? It is maritime law, and they used it here in the desert to California when lakes started to recede. If the government goes in and plows it and builds something, that new land that has been reclaimed from waterways belongs to the government. So there's all kinds of little scams going on here that are benefiting few at the cost of many. That's why I don't get into you know, a lot of it, because there's just so much in this. This is, I mean, 100 years from now, people are going to be discussing this like they discussed the Kennedy assassination. You know, what were the real motives? What were the theories? Who had the most to gain? Well, of course we know who has the most to gain. Who has the most to gain at all of this? It's always Zog. It's always the New World Order. It's always rich corporations that now transcend national boundaries, because corporate law is much more liberal for tyrants than national law. I mean, they have to actually break laws of the Constitution and laws of the United States to do a lot of what they're doing. They may make up new laws, but on their face, they're illegal anyway. But corporate law can be changed easily. So corporations now run the world. And that corporation, of course, who usually heads it? Answer that for yourself. So this whole Gulf oil thing is just getting uglier and scarier. And where are we here? Let's start over, push the reset button. That's what I'm talking about, Code 3. It's just the only way to clean house sometimes. I mean, if it's infested with termites, rats, roaches, is to burn the house down and build a new house. Now, I'm not saying we burn the house down. I think they're going to do it. I think in their overzealous desire to control everything, because once they start getting control of everything, they're going to start infighting the different agencies. I mean, you see it happening now. Look at all the intelligence agencies that are at each other's throats in the world. One of them will light the match that brings it all down. Whether they do something to destabilize world economies or whatever, so that they can try and squeeze a little more blood out of the turnip, it will accelerate, and it will get out of control, because there's one thing that is a true law of cosmic science, if you will, is that men can never control the things they create. Men can never control the things that they create, and they always think they have the power to do it, don't they? Throughout history, we see this. We see empires grow so big that the man who created them gets eaten alive by it. Whether through distrust, counter movements that he actually triggers. But men build things that grow so big that they can never control them. They just can't. And it's so big now, the global economy, there's no way they can control it. It's going to collapse. And, you know, just like in a Frankenstein movie, the villagers are going to grab their pitchforks and torches and march at the ivory towers. And the ones that don't get away to their secret island getaways that they've been stashing food at for decades will be eaten alive by the very peasants that they set out to destroy and enslave. I have no doubt in it. That's why I don't get caught up in the biblical part of it, because I don't know if this is the end times. Because you guys know I don't have that same kind of thought process that 90% of the church world does. This may just be another cycle of man being man, optimizing their free will to destroy and attack other men, and the inevitable happens. The different thing this time is that the toys we play with are far more devastating. Populations are greater than they've ever been, obviously. There's going to be a lot more bloodshed, a lot more horror, a lot more pain in the refugee populations than there ever has been in times past. History goes in cycles. The one constant is that it always repeats itself, but each time it gets bigger. World War I was the war to end all wars. Then, you know, a few years later, they have World War II. Look how many millions died then. This next one, it's going to be, you know, in the hundreds of millions casualties through, you know, the initial effects of whatever crisis they create, and the secondary disease, famine, civil wars going on throughout the world. It's going to be a constant state of chaos for a while. We're headed for a new Dark Ages. Now, hopefully, it would be nice if this were the time when Jesus returns. Don't know if it is. I won't even make that kind of claim. But we better be prepared. We better make sure that we are the bridesmaids with the oil and not the ones that are counting on everybody else to carry our oil for us. Who's carrying your oil? That's why we train. We train to make sure everybody has what they need. We had a training up here recently, and we just were going to do a little overnight thing. People forgot stuff. I thought I put that in. People, you know, broke stuff out, and like with me, some of my communication stuff didn't work. That's why we train. We've got to see what's going on. We've got to make sure that we've got our bug out scenario right. So that we know, hey, you grab those three bags, I grab these three bags, so that none of them get left back in the garage. And another thing you got to do is, if you've got food stored up, don't keep dipping into it. I know the economy's getting bad. I know it. But I would rather be hungry now, knowing that I've got a check coming in today sometime or next week, than be hungry 2 years from now knowing that I'll never have a check again. Do not dip into your survival food. It's a tough thing to do. It's a tough discipline to have. So, you know, when you're doing training, I'd like to say, for instance, we have like a 3-day training or something, and you've got the food that's in your pack, have enough stored that you don't have to go into your long storage food. Bring stuff that you can use for the weekend. Don't crack into it. Don't open it up. Don't tear out those MREs that you've only had stored for 6 months. If you've never had an MRE, you better buy some and eat them and figure out how to heat them up and stuff. And the other thing is, focus on your family. I know that's already the name of another ministry. That's kind of my goal here. Focus on your own family. Make sure you have first level, second level, and third level gear ready. Stop worrying about what the Joneses have. I don't mean us specifically. Because it'll do two things. And it can go two ways. One, it can make you feel totally unprepared because somebody else has got 10 times more than you do. Odds are they've been doing it longer and you're new to it. And the other thing it is, if you start worrying about them not having what they need, and you start getting an attitude of being angry with them or mad at them or something, you're losing the whole point of this. You should help each other. You should be telling people, hey, you know, maybe you need to be doing this, maybe you need to be doing that. And like in our case, we do what we can. We pick up what we can when we go along, and I know the Lord will provide. But if you don't have enough money to get the stored food now, you better be learning how to snare, how to garden, how to make jerky, do everything you can to learn. Learning sometimes is free because all you got to do is go to the library and get a book. So many people think that you have to that this preparedness thing is cost too much. Your number one tool is your brain and is using your intellect to overcome these barriers. So get on the ball, go to the library, start using other people's books. Study, research. If you can't afford to buy the stuff, learn how to make the stuff. Learn how to gather. Learn what plants you can eat in your area. I don't know what we're going to talk about when we come back. It's been a long, hot day, and it affects my brain. It affects my bean thinker. We'll be back after the break, and we will be with Liberty Tree Radio when we come back. Blur distinctions and they make excuses.
Nothing changes more. These allegations are false. Wrong's not right. Wrong is wrong, right is right. There is difference in black and white. Like it or not, it's a fact of life. Things are what they are. Wrong's not right. I think the American people know two or three things about me now that they didn't know. My answers were legally accurate. It's just not right. I misled people, including even my wife. In your mind, it's gotta be confusing. He wins, he should be losing. One day, you pay the price. I deeply regret that. I did not do that. It's nobody's business. Even presidents have private lives. Like it or not, it's a fact of life.
on too long, cost too much, and hurt too many innocent people.
Don't get the impression that you arouse my anger.
You see, why do you have that impression?
You see, one can only be angry with those he respects.
Mr. President!
Government is the
There is
problem.
Rebellion in the wind.
A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
For nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Fats, Jones, Jones. Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Ooh, doggy, it's hot up here in Central California. What is it now, 148? 150? I'm Dutch Jones. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. We're coming to you live from the frying pan here in Central California, a little commonwealth known as the Cahuilla Commonwealth. That's right. It's not a town. It's not a burg. It's not a village. It's a commonwealth. It always has been. Actually founded by Marxists in the 1880s who wanted it. Well, they did. They built a road all the way up to the giant sequoias. And right when they were going to harvest them, the federal government came in and said, oh, you didn't file your paperwork properly, we're taking it back. It's only funny when the government screws Marxists. I know that. But just because they chased them off, they sent in cavalry. I don't think there was any violence because they were like, you know, wimpy Marxists up here. But that's where we are, Cahuilla, California, K-A-W-E-A-H, California. And who am I? I'm Dutch Jones. And we do a little radio thing here over the internet. And wherever else the streams may lead and people rebroadcasting it, Monday through Friday on ubroadcast.com via dutchjones.tk. And we do that from 5 to 7 p.m. And then at 6 p.m. on Mondays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays, Liberty Tree Radio picks us up. And we really gratefully appreciate that. And we like being carried on such a prestigious outlet, and we like the feedback we get from the listeners, so that's what we do. And what do? Well, we give you the Christian militant worldview that you don't see too many places. We're not the only ones doing it. I don't want you to think that. That's not the truth. I mean, you've got guys like Chuck Baldwin out there, Pastor John Weaver, you know, you've got, and there are more that I probably haven't even met yet out there in the free church movement that believe in the founding fathers' principles. That this nation is a Christian nation, that the Constitution does not give us any rights, it just outlines the rights given to us by God, by Jesus Christ, and we are not ashamed to say the word Jesus Christ on the radio. You won't see us saying, you know, one nation under God. We say no king but King Jesus. And that's pretty much who we are and what we do here. We are a old-timey church, as I like to put it. We follow the old paths. And we're interdenominational. You'll see just a cross-section of folks coming to our church this Sunday. We had a full house. We had a family come all the way from Palm Springs because somebody posted one of our videos on InfoWars. They saw that. They looked us up. They showed up. They came for our Sunday training. I remember I told you guys we were going to do a Sunday training on hygiene. That went really well. It was well attended. People seem to like it. We talked about taking care of your feet, your unmentionables, basic stuff that people who have a laundry service or a maid or, you know, will never know. And even the luxury of having a washing machine where you just throw your stuff in every day, you forget skills. We gave out a formula for making lye soap and told people, you know, showed people that, you know, because you don't stockpile the soap. You got to get it somewhere. How are you going to get clean? I mean, you can only beat those overalls so many times on the rocks down by the river. You know, how did our forefathers do it? How did our pioneers in this great country do it? So that's what we talked about, how to take care of yourself before you get sick so you don't continue to get sick. And we had a lot of input from our medical staff, a lot of input from, how do I put this, the more seasoned Americans in our group, the people that actually were around when the Great Depression. Came around and talked about what kind of things they did, what type of remedies they had for things, how they stayed healthy, that kind of stuff. There were no stupid questions, and it was great. Fun was had by all. It lasted quite a while. It was great to have. We had one family, like I said, come from Palm Springs. And if you're listening, it was great to have you. I won't give out your name because I don't want to embarrass you or, because you didn't say I could use your name on the air, but it was awesome to have you there. And we look forward to more and more folks. We had our friends from the Southern California Martial Law Alerts Group. Kim and Carrie came up, and that was great. They came all the way up from the coast and just to see us. I like it when we get visitors from other groups. I really like it a lot because it shows that we're networking, we're fellowshipping. We're not living under a rock in these times. We're not fearful. We're not hiding from the New World Order. We're not hiding from the corrupt government authorities. We do it in the open. In fact, we tell, if they want to come and sit through a church service with us, we invite them. We invite them. We have little tyrannies, little tyrants, and big tyrants. And every time they get in our face, first thing we do is we start sharing the gospel with them. Boy, that makes them mad. Next thing we do is we usually hand them something scriptural, usually a Bible or something. Then we hand them copies of the Constitution, the Citizen's Handbook. Those of you that have been in the cause long enough, you know what the Citizen's Handbook is. Citizen's Rulebook, excuse me. Citizen's Rulebook. So we just keep doing it. We keep moving on. We're not going to be afraid. We're not going to, we'll make mistakes. We'll stumble. We'll do things we probably shouldn't have done, that slow us up here and there. But overall, we're gaining ground. We're occupying for the holy cause of liberty. We're not sitting here on our hands waiting to be beamed up by some pre-trib rapture theory. What are you knitting over there? Your own socks? Is that, that looks weird. Oh, sorry. It's a surprise for somebody. Okay, member of our studio audience, is that called knitting or is that crochet? What is that called?
Knitting.
It's called knitting. Okay, sorry. I don't know the difference, but it's good. We have a new neighbor. The place that we vacated, we have a new young lady that moved into that location, and she's sitting in here listening to the show, and she's knitting something. Now, did you say you could knit balaclavas or whatever they're called?
Yeah,
balaclavas. If you guys want some... like camouflage-colored OD green or whatever, knitted balaclavas, give us a call, contact us. We haven't figured out what she should sell them for yet, but they're really nice. The one I saw was nice. Any color you want. You want a bright orange one with a target on the back of your head? Okay. Pink polka dots Lou wants on his. We'll have our new neighbor knit those up for you. And that's something we're trying to get a cottage industry going here. Ways that the people that join the group that are part of our Christian Covenant community, if they have a skill, we try and help find a way to have them be rewarded for that skill so that they can help pay the bills and make it. Because, I told you guys, I'm not hiding it. We're recruiting here. We're trying to find good people to come to our church and good people to move into our community. It's tough. It is really tough. It's bad everywhere. We've got between 20 and 40% unemployment in this region. Yeah, I said that. I didn't misspeak. 20 to 40% unemployment in this area. Even the illegals that are stealing jobs don't have jobs. And I don't mean that to be funny. That's just to show you how bad it is. We've been blessed with an unusually wet winter and spring, and it's even been raining a few days here in the summer, which hasn't happened. You've been here your whole life. I mean, it used to happen a lot, but it's nice. God's given us rain. So some things are growing that normally wouldn't be growing because they cut off the water. But I think, we pray that continues, that we're blessed by it. But unless those crops grow, the immediate thing is there will be no jobs for the people to maintain and harvest. But the real big thing will be is that there will be no food on the shelves. And all you people living in cities that go, oh, I don't need farms, I get my food at the grocery store. I hear that all the time. I get emails from people in cities because I hate cities. I tell you to get out of the cities. My advice to you is to flee from the cities. At the very least, have a bug-out plan. Have a point of refuge that you can get to. A place of refuge where you have stuff stashed. And that's what we are here for many, many people. And we continue that fight, and we continue to reach out. So it was good to have some good folks come up. We have across the river from the church, there is a vacation property there that a group of people from the Bay Area own, and relatives, friends come up, and when they do, they come to church with us. And this beautiful family came to church this Sunday, and it was great because they showed up. You know, one, you know, that they sought to go to church, and two, it turns out they're Civil War reenactors and they're Confederates, so that was even neater. We're like, wow, this is great. There was, you know, some teenage girls, a teenage boy, good looking family, you know, just healthy. I mean, you know, the kids weren't dressed like hoochie mamas, you know, and the boy wasn't wearing some Metallica. Not that there's anything wrong with Metallica, but you got to get your... We're more like Little House on the Prairie here. And if you came with a Metallica t-shirt, we're not going to throw you out. But it's nice to see some good Leave It to Beaver type, you know... I don't know. You may be saying he's living in a fantasy world, but it's nice to see that. And then it turns out the mother is some kind of infectious disease physician... who's like-minded. You know, she's like into... She works in a laboratory. She doesn't work with people, but, you know, she's like trying to find cures for things. So she's a doctor. I mean, we got a dentist. We got a couple nurses. We got a doctor. There was the family that came from Palm Springs, and I don't want to embarrass them, but, oh, we'd love to have them. You know, I may be speaking out of turn here, but the wife, the mother, lovely woman, got to speak with her. Well, you played with the kids, you know. And she's like an ER nurse or a trauma nurse. I mean, talk about God putting people together. You know, who knows where it's going to end up, you know. They may have gone away and said, wow, what was wrong with those people? We're never coming back. I don't know. I didn't get that vibe. I didn't get that sense of their spirit. People hate it when I say I didn't get that vibe. I'm not saying it was like a hippie New World thing. It's like I didn't sense the spirit like that. And it was nice to see. So if you're interested in coming out, contact me. If you're interested in coming out here permanently, let's talk. I know a lot of people go, California? Why would we go to California? Well, look what Jonah did. Jonah went to sea because he didn't want to go to Nineveh where all the fish slappers were at. If you watch VeggieTales, you know what I'm talking about. you don't know where the Lord's going to put you to work. You have no idea. I mean... And it's very real for a lot of people in my close circle of friends. Some of them may be ministering in prison. Some of them may be ministering from a convalescent home because of illness. What? Oh, there's something in there? Let me go back to the chat. Dutch, how is it that you were raised in Colorado that you are so pro-South? Well, that's a great question, and I answer it often, and I'll spend a little bit of time on it, because I studied history. Every time I went to college, because it took me like, I don't know, 12 years to get my degree, the only reason I wanted to go to college was history. Even though my degree was in criminal justice and anthropology, I studied the cause of the South and found that the cause was right. I studied the cause of the South and found out that it was about states' rights. I didn't believe the lie that it was about slavery. It was about economics. It was about tariffs. It was the same. It was about the same issues that the American Revolution was about, and they just used it like they do today, like they use racism today to try and deflate the arguments of the militias and stuff. They used it back then. I mean, the so-called Civil War, which I call the War of Federal Aggression, freed no one. It made slaves of every one of us. It freed no one. Everything that you study that is taught to be true in American schools, if you actually study the documents of the time and the opinions and the newspapers of the time, you'll see that it was a lie. The Emancipation Proclamation freed no one. President Lincoln had no authority to free anyone in the Confederate States of America. He could have, on the other hand, freed people in the North. Notice I say people. He could have freed people that were in servitude, slavery, and he chose not to. Instead, he freed so-called people in occupied parts of the South, which he didn't have the authority to do, under international laws of war. So that's pretty much it there. I used to be, when I was younger, I was a big Northerner guy, you know, as a young kid. And then in high school, because I had more of an inquisitive mind, I started studying more. I didn't care what they taught me in the classroom because I knew it was always garbage. I used the city and school library. I mean, the town library. I grew up in a small town. It was weird. I was the only one in there. The little kid with a blue mohawk, you know, 13, 14 years old, a blue mohawk. I'm in the history section just eating it up. You know, and checking books out, and it was sad because the library was there and nobody used it. So that's how I'm so. And it's not that I'm pro South, I'm pro states' rights. You know, people always say the South will rise again, and I argue against that and say, well, actually, I wish this nation would rise again. But the cause of the South was a good cause. And if you study slavery, you know that it was on its way out. Mechanization. The cost of maintaining and keeping slaves, plus just the stigma of it. The percentage of Southerners that actually owned slaves was low. But and one thing that they never teach you is that freed blacks or black men that came to the South as free men had slaves too. Slavery was going out. The South actually had a mechanism for freeing the slaves, that if you fought, you were free, and they didn't keep them in segregated units. Chaplains and officers in the South were black. In the North, it was a segregated unit, and they treated them like garbage. They made them cooks, stable boys, that kind of thing. They were still hanging blacks in the North during the so-called Civil War. Let's see. Thanks for not being lazy and for seeking the truth. I had to move not to get to South Carolina. Yeah, and it just, I studied it. And when I was in the Army, the real thing, before I went to college, I was in the Army. I joined the Army at 17 and a half. Every military base that I was at was in the South. Fort Jackson Reception Station. Fort Benning, Georgia for basic training and airborne. MP Station was at Fort McClellan, Alabama. My final, after I got back from Central America, I was stationed at Fort George D. Meade again, and then TDY'd to Fort A.P. Hill, Virginia, in Bowling Green, Virginia, where I was a garrison MP / game warden for a piece of land that was seized from the South. Seized from the South during the Korean conflict or World War II, right in that era, for a training facility, and was said it was going to be given back, and they never gave it back. So the Southerners hated me because I was a soldier, an occupying soldier. But being, you know, I hope you get the idea of my personality here. I'm upfront about everything. I went to like a Klan meeting and said, "What is your problem with me?" In Bowling Green, in that area, why are you guys like keying my car? Because I have a military sticker on it. Why are you always picking fights with me when I go into town? I am a nice guy. And they were like, "What?" They couldn't believe I walked in on one of their meetings. I said, "I don't support what you're doing. I don't like the fact that if a black guy, you know, comes into town, you guys beat the crap out of him. But I want to know where your anger's from." And that's kind of where, you know, I started meeting Southerners. I had to fake Southern accents to get good service in restaurants when I was in the South. And that's where all my high school drama came in handy, you know. And then I remember I was going to the same grocery store for a year in Richmond, Virginia. I can't remember the name of it. I couldn't get people to rent to me. I had to lie and say I was a Southerner on the phone to get somebody to send me a contract. Once they found out I was in, they did everything to try and get me out of the apartment. Because I lived off base because I was an NCO. But I went to this grocery store and I said, "Well, I'm going to be moving." They go, "Where are you going?" I said, "Home to Colorado." And the cashier, the lady that I'd been going to for a year, said, "Good, we don't want you Northerners in our state anymore." And I go, "I'm not a Northerner, I'm from Colorado." Colorado actually tried to, you know, had some battles there to go, you know, independent. They don't care. There's just as many Southerners that don't know the truth either. They know the truth about some things, but they need to see that not all Northerners or Westerners. I was born in Boston, so yes, I am a Yankee. But my own ancestors fought in the Confederacy. So that was another thing. They were Coney Island Confederates. They were Dutch that lived in New York, that were involved in shipping. They were slave traders. There were some that were slave traders from Africa. You know, I don't have a big white guilt over that, but I admit it. I'm not going to lie about it. And they would try and run guns to the South from England. They'd go from England, they'd pick up a bunch of weapons from the Tower of London and take it down to Louisiana and run the blockade. A couple of them jumped ship and stayed there. I have to argue with you because I knew the black man that was beat up. He was walking in. There's a thing that says that's not true. They don't just beat people up. You weren't there. You weren't an MP. I don't mean to sound offensive, Ghost Shadow, but there are idiots in every race. And I know our black medic. He went out after dark to go get something to eat. The reason he was a medic is he was a pacifist. This guy didn't bother anybody. He was from like Ohio. He wasn't even an inner city black, this poor guy. He walked to an ice cream stand kind of thing about a mile from post. He was jumped by five guys and beaten for being black. He tried to walk back and they jumped him. And I knew girls that worked at the ice cream parlor and they said, yeah, they just jumped on him because he was black. So don't you generalize and say that all Southerners are noble. There are blacks that will kill a white person just for being in the wrong neighborhood at the wrong time. And there are whites that will do the same thing to a white man. Or to a black man. I'm not for the Klan during Reconstruction. The South would have closely resembled South Africa. Oh, if not for the Klan, yeah, I completely agree with you. In fact, when I've done Klan shows, where I've interviewed Klan people on civil liberties issues and stuff like that, I always tell them that after Nathan Bedford Forrest, I really don't think there was a purpose for the Klan, period. During the antebellum period, when the North was raping the South, murdering pastors, raping women, doing all the stuff, like you say, South Africa, you know, stealing farms and handing them over to Northerners, shutting down churches and handing them over to Northern pastors, and if the priest said anything, they shot them. There was actually a law during the antebellum period in what you know as Reconstruction that if you gave aid to a Confederate, you could be shot. Any woman even touching a wounded Confederate, you know, or former secessionist would be shot. So, yeah, the Klan had its purpose. They were guerrilla fighters. They were there to instill order when the North was causing chaos. So, but now, I don't see a purpose for the Klan, and I have a lot of Klan listeners. I know, because they send me email. Now, if you live in a community where there's outrageous anti-white crime, I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not going to tell you you can't form something. I just wish it was something other than the Klan. You know, do committees of vigilance. Do militias. But, you know, it seems like we always get on the Southern topic here, and it's good. I don't mind talking about it at all. But I'm telling you that there are people that get assaulted for just being in the wrong place at the wrong time. There are innocent people that get preyed upon by vicious people. And those vicious people can come in any shade or color. Anyone. Any nationality, any race, any religion, any class, the poorest kid in the world to the richest kid, you know, being spoon-fed with a silver spoon. You know why? Because we're all human and we're all flawed. And upbringing, self-control, self-governance, all those things play into there. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter who you are or where you're standing. There's always somebody out there that's willing to make you a victim. For no other reason than they're just bored. And it's sad that that happens. So yeah, there are innocent victims of racial crime. I don't say that there's no such thing, is it? I never say that. In fact, right now I'm furious with the Justice Department for not going after the new Black Panther Party folks. That Shabazz guy. In fact, I even said, if it's okay for Shabazz, you know, the moron, to say, if blacks want to be free, kill cracker babies, I'm going to say, well, if whites want to feel safe in their community, they need to kill Shabazz. They need to cut the head off that vile snake called the New Black Panther Party. I'll say it on the radio over and over and over again, because obviously he can say it and not be persecuted and prosecuted for it. But the fact is, America has grown into such a state that only a white man can commit a civil rights crime anymore. The pendulum swung the other way. But that's not just by chance. That's not out of ignorance or stupidity. It's by plan, folks. The New World Order and Zog thrive on chaos. They thrive on it. Otherwise, they would make peace, take their little corner of the earth, and do what they want to do. But the problem is they want the entire earth. Do you think Israel likes it? The Palestinians are there? They really just want to kill them all. But they graduate and govern their response. They want to just wipe out everybody that's not Jewish in that whole region and take over the whole thing. But they know they wouldn't get away with that overnight. So they just do a little at a time, keep the chaos going, keep the Palestinians agitated like a hornet's nest, so they can justify boarding ships and murdering 9 people. The good news is that both sides in that war, neither one of them are our friends. I hate this, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. No. Between the Palestinians and the Israelis, I could care less who wins. Because we're going to end up fighting whoever wins. They're going to be our enemy, no doubt. Not a military doubt in my mind. That the Mideast question will not be solved until they either destroy Israel or Israel destroys everybody else, and then we end up fighting the winner. Does that make sense? It's kind of like playing pool in a pool hall. It's like, hey, I got winner. You put your 50 cents down on the table. That's all we're waiting for. And that's the ultimate plan. That's the ultimate goal. They want the chaos because they need to keep the meat grinder going to get rid of the massive population. Maybe not white Americans, but the rest of the world are having babies so fast that the world order is going, oh, how are we going to maintain this? How are we going to keep... I mean, that's why they have these civil wars all through Africa, the population control. You've seen the Georgia Guidestones. Hopefully there's no one here. No one here that doesn't know what the Georgia Guidestones are. Let's see. Is this for the rest of the night? I believe we agree on. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's fine. We can disagree on a lot of stuff, Ghost Shadow. That's fine. I wouldn't want a bunch of listeners that were all, you know, ditto heads. I mean, what's the point in that? You know, it's like I said, I have Klansmen that listen, but I don't agree with their... The Klans that are racial supremacists, I don't agree with that at all. If they're racial separatists, I say that's their right. They don't want to be around a bunch of non-whites, that's fine. I, for one, can't stand Belgians. And if there are any Belgians in my neighborhood, I'm going to do something about it. Whatever, you know.
Bells.
Huh? Leapers? Bunch of leapers? Bunch of waffle makers. But, see, if somebody doesn't want to be around me, I'm not going to force them to be around me. So, I can disagree with somebody 80%, but that 20% of the time will allow us to have reasonable discourse. And we can talk And I can even defend your rights, and you can defend my rights to do what we believe is right within the bounds of the Bible. Just because we differ on something like that doesn't mean we have to be enemies. But once somebody tells me that they have the right to put their boot on the neck of someone else and make them their slaves forever, for an unbiblical reason, see, you notice that? Slavery is a biblical institution. There's a reason for it. We now have a different kind of slavery in America. It's called the welfare system, CPS, the Department of Education. They just instituted new overseers. Do you understand what I'm saying? Oh, good song, Lou. We're going to be back after the break, and I see Ed's in there, so I guess we're streaming. So we'll do what we can do during the break to find some more stuff to talk about, and I'll give you the phone when we come back, and hopefully we'll get some calls instead of just letting Dutch rant.
Cry of freedom, our deep sea forever, she's never had a loss. Down with the eagle and up with the cross, we will rally around the bonnie flag, we'll rally once again. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. Our gallant boys have marched to the rolling of the drums. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. And the leaders in charge cry out, come boys, come. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. Our Dixie forever, she's never had a loss. Down with the eagle and up with the cross, we will rally round the bonnie flag, we'll rally once again. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. They have laid down their lives on the bloody battlefield. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. Their motto is resistance to the tyrants, never yield. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. Our Dixie forever, she's never at a loss. Down with the eagle and up with the cross. We will rally round the bonnie flag, we'll rally once again. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom.
In the best conditions, the human body will die after 3 days without water. Having access to clean, drinkable water in a disaster, survival situation, or military action is critical when putting together your survival plan and survival kit. Whether you choose to boil, filter, purify, or use some type of chemical treatment, something must be done when planning your survival escape routes and plans and putting together your bug out bag or simply your rucksack. That's why I have chosen to offer Sawyer brand water filters. These filters used in the medical industry for kidney dialysis exceed the needs for water purification. With different units available, the basic unit that you should get will be capable of filtering up to 500 gallons a day and will not need to be replaced until you have surpassed 1 million gallons through that filter. I know that's hard to believe, but it's a fact. They've been using these filters overseas for years in the missionary fields and in post-disaster recovery efforts. The filters are lightweight and simple to use, so whether you attach it to a 5-gallon bucket, to a water bladder, or to a 10,000-gallon tank, these filters can do the job for you. They can handle up to 40 PSI, and with different fittings and ingenuity, you can even apply them to inside, inline water supply systems into your house, cabin, or survival structure. So I'm asking you to go to djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer water filters. Order them through us. You'll save at least $5 off the retail price of buying them from Sawyer Direct. And as always, the money goes to help the radio ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So, do something right for your family, get them prepared for a disaster or calamity, and you're helping us out. So don't forget, djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer brand water filters.
There's rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns are toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
All for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
Put out all points, bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention.
A new world
order. Attention.
The government is
an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
facts. Jones.
Radio.
And now for something completely different.
Now, as part of the educational service we provide from the Dutch Jones Radio Program, I turn the mic over to Lou, who will now read the official list of slurs for people from Belgium. Go ahead, Lou. Go ahead.
Belgie, phlegm, sprout, and waffle.
Belgie, phlegm, sprout, and waffle. Okay, waffle and phlegm I get because they speak Flemish. They don't even speak Belgian. They have their own language, phlegm. And then what were the other two? Sprout?
Obscure Monty Python reference. Take on Brussels sprouts, hence Belgians.
Belgians. They call them... Oh, Brussels. Ah... See, that all makes sense. Belgies is good. Thank you, Lou, for looking that one up for us. We're back. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program coming to you live. Right now it is the 21st of July, and it is 10,000 degrees outside. So you hear that? Those are fans going, and we don't have a cooling system up in here. We just live in a Quonset hut up on a mountainside somewhere where we have a commanding view of all we survey. So we have fans on right now. I was reminded... Oh, wait. I'm getting a private message. Okay... He just said okay. So, message transferred, and recipient has received the message, just so you know. Okay, and I'm going to steal this from the intelligence report. Party at the playground this Saturday, 8 a.m. Bring clothes you do not mind getting bloody. Party at the playground. You know, meeting at the playground. We're going to have a special extra training. We plan to do these Saturdays once a month, and now we end up doing them like every weekend now. So this Saturday is going to be butchering. We are going to butcher farm animals of all kinds. I don't know if it's going to be... It must be windy out there because our antenna is just flopping in the wind. We're going to be butchering some of the animals here on the facility. I didn't use the C word. On the church property. And we're tired of only having two or three people that know how to butcher. So if you eat the meat, you better be here to butcher the animals. And that's happening Saturday at 8 a.m. And like I said, wear something that anybody, you know, you can throw away if you get blood on it, or you can wash it, you won't care, painting pants, something like that. We do not advise you to drive home wearing bloody clothes, especially with the state, with the level of alertness that we're at now because of the harassment from the meter maids with guns around here. They'll just, at the very least, they're going to tase you in the face. They're not going to ask questions, and it won't matter if you're covered in turkey, chicken feathers, or rabbit fur, or I don't even know what else we're butchering, but you need to show up for this, and you're going to learn. The instructor is the person who normally does it, and this guy will whip through a dozen chickens faster than you can cook one. And everybody's going to get to cut a head off. Yes, I'll be sharpening up our machetes and hatchets. And everyone, well, maybe everyone won't get to, you know, actually do the gutting, but everyone's going to pluck. Everybody gets to pluck. And what we do is we boil some water, and after we remove the cranial package, come on in, Stace. We then dip them in boiling water, and then that makes it easier to pluck them. But it's a skill that everybody has to have, folks. 38 Special says she's not bringing her dogs. Well, if you've read Patriots, you know that dogs are four-legged mobile supply pods. They're really good for carrying gear for security, but when they outlive their usefulness, we won't be butchering any dogs, though. It's not that late in the game. So this is open to members of the group. And if you are a listener and in the area and want to watch, you won't be allowed to participate. I mean, you know, we may let you pluck, but we've got to get more people here learning how, because we've got a lot of animals. We're going to have more animals, and having crews and everybody ready to take their turn. You want to eat, you got to learn how to kill it and prepare it. And there will be fried chicken following at probably Sunday the next day at church. There will be lots of fried chicken. I was trying to talk her into cooking the turkey the next day, but I don't know. I don't know if she wants to spend all day cooking a turkey. But if you're a survivalist, at the very least, maybe you listen to this show because you're a survivalist. Maybe you listen to Liberty Tree Radio just because you want to be alone in a cabin. I know people that have got all the gear. They own rifles. They learn how to do snares and deadfall traps. But I always ask them this. So how many animals have you skinned and gutted and cooked over an open fire? Oh, none. I'll figure that out when I get to it. And I'm dead serious. About 40% of the people that are new in this field, I'm not talking about the old timers and stuff that have been listening to Liberty Tree Radio for as long as it's been up, but I'm talking about people I encounter at gun shows and on the street when I'm out yelling at police or something. I'm just kidding. I don't really yell at police. I'm not that stupid. But they're just like, oh, no, I'll figure it out when I have to. Well, what are you going to do if you're not near your... Well, or they'll say, I have enough food stored. I don't have to kill anything. Huh? Really? What if it takes us, you know, remember the last dark ages? Those of you that don't study history, go look it up. You're not going to live on vegetables. What happens if you don't have animal fat? You die. You know, if you have too much animal fat, you die. But you have to have some animal fat, and eating just fish and vegetables isn't going to be enough for the type of fish that we have up here. So we have to raise animals. We take dominion over the animal kingdom. We'll have rabbits, you know, if I have to. I won't eat ground squirrels because they're cannibals, and I heard you get a lot of diseases from them. But the possums, everything that's here, God has put here for us to use for sustenance or to use as a beast of burden, and we're allowed to do it. And, oh, somebody says, you're talking about me. It's not just you in the chat room. There are so many people that have no idea how to do it. I learned at age 5. how to skin and prep rabbits. By age 7, I was helping my dad do deer, pigs, chickens, cats. Yeah, that's right. We ate a lot of, when we were hungry. We never told the rest of the family. We told them there were rabbits. If we went out and didn't get any rabbits, neighborhood stray cats. We didn't shoot anybody's fluffy or anything. We'd be out in the middle of nowhere on Pawnee grasslands, an abandoned farm homestead kind of thing. And if there were wild cats, we'll eat whatever it takes. Rattlesnake, given the one that I killed last night was too little, but, I mean, hardly make a meal. If you've eaten rattlesnake, you know they got to be big to make it worth it. But these skills have got to be there. Before, and here's something else. You've got to get the books. Read and study the books. You know, everybody says, well, I got great YouTube videos. What are you going to do when the videos are gone, when you can't turn on your computer? Get books. Get old-style books. The older, the better. I mean, even Walmart in California sells deer cleaning kits in the sporting goods sections of Walmart. Somebody's buying them. So it's a skill you have to learn. Now, Lou, he's a cold-blooded killer. I mean, we had some roosters that were vicious that were, you know, doing, they were attacking and chasing people around and killing other chickens just for fun. Hand Lou a .22, boom, one shot to the head, he was done. But we're going to be cutting their heads off with hatchets. I know I killed the other one, but you had never even, you'd never even shot anything alive before in your life, and you just, boom, no problem. And then, but the thing that scared me is when he started stomping it, saying, who's your daddy? He's jumping up and, who's your daddy now, huh? You don't remember much. It all kind of went black for you after the blood splatter, I think. But then he's like, oh, is there anything else we can kill? What about that? What about that chicken over there? He looks like he's aggressive. I'm like, no, it's just these two. We had to take them out of the general population because they're mutilating the other animals. So it's an excellent skill to have. And if you don't have it, you're going to die unless you want to be a burden on somebody else. And we don't want to be a burden on the 4 or 5 people in our group that already know how to do it. I'm not going to spend all day. There's better uses of my time. I will rotate through, and I will volunteer when there's a culling of the herd to be done. But to make one guy sit down there and do that all day long, it's not right. What happens when he gets sick and dies? What happens when he gets shot? What happens when he gets taken prisoner by the New World Order? What happens if he decides to take his family and move farther north because California is just too crummy for him? You're being ignorant and you're neglecting your role as a Christian soldier if you don't have a full, what's the word I'm looking for? I want to say palette of skills. That sounds too gay to me, too faggy. But you don't have enough stuff in your tool bag to use. You know, you got to be able to have these skills. I mean, I remember it was Jeff Cooper. He had a list of things that a young man needs to know, and I would change that to the things any survivalist needs to know, any Christian soldier needs to know, man or woman, child or adult. You know, you got to know how to build a fire, a real fire. You got to know what kind of fire to build. You got to know how to forage for edibles of the flora. You got to know how to trap, kill, hunt fauna, and know how to clean it and eat it. You know, there's just. I should come up with my own, because there's even more that he didn't cover. I wish I still had that book here. I think I loaned it to somebody. There are so many things that we neglect as modern civilians. People that have been in war or in calamities, yeah. You know, people that went through Katrina, I don't think they take anything for granted anymore. But how quickly we forget, so who knows. People who've lived through flash floods, wildfires, tornadoes. People that truly get tested, let's put it that way, they have a new appreciation for what life is like, and they realize just how fragile and thin that little shell is around our simple little worlds. They can be broken at any time. When you can't go through the drive-thru at Starbucks anymore. You can't go down and get a new pair of shoes at Wally World. And we spend all of our lives convincing ourselves that that's not true, that it's not, you know, we will survive no matter what, that we can handle anything. By golly, we're Americans. But century after century, something hits, something happens. Many people die because of their own ignorance and stupidity. And even worse, they cause other people to die who don't need to die because of their own ignorance and stupidity. I'm a loving, caring Christian man right now. But when bad times come and it threatens my family's well-being, you can dang well bet it, bet on it. You can be assured I will jettison you in a minute if you don't pull your own weight. If you come to me right now and you're all gung-ho and everything, but then when the time comes and it's time to go out and plant and maintain crops or to go out and move the herd from one field to another for grazing, and you go, oh, I don't want to do it, I don't know how to do it, nobody ever showed me, I forgot, poof, you're going to be gone in the blink of an eye. You'll be handed a little pack of food, maybe a hand-drawn map to the FEMA camp, and locking the gate behind you. And that's on a good day if we feel nice. So I cannot stress it enough that you have to take everything seriously now. We're not in a what-if scenario anymore. We're in a when scenario, when it's going to happen. So if you're thinking, oh, I need a large pot for boiling for group feeding, you better start getting that stuff together now if you don't already have it. If you're thinking, oh, well, I haven't gotten around to getting a firearm yet, I don't know what to tell you. You know, there are people that can't. I understand that. You better come up with a mechanism or a strategy to get one, or come up with another way of defending your family. It's like the people in the cities. I get emails every day through this show and through the Facebook page that they're just like, well, I live in a city, I don't know what to do. Well, people have been telling you since the Bible to stay out of cities in times of calamity. How can you not watch what happened to Katrina, LA riots, Northridge quake, any of those things? And not deduce for yourself, even if you are an ungodly person, even if Christ to you is a joke and a myth, how can you not look at the evidence that is before you and not go, man, I need to start making preparations? The only time I believe in Darwinian theorem is in societies. In societies. I don't believe in evolution, I don't believe in any of that, but I will pervert his theory to apply to this. That there are some people that don't adapt, they don't overcome, and they die. I don't believe in theory at all of evolution, so don't write me hate mail. But I'm talking about societal evolution and societal collapse. People that don't see the change coming and accept it that it's coming, but given past historical cycles, and prepare for it, are doomed to be slaves to those who do know, if they're tyrants, or if they're lucky, they'll die. I'd rather die than be a slave. In this type of scenario that we're probably facing in a global economic collapse, which is what the one I'm putting, you know, hooking my wagon to, if you don't have at least the basic means of production and the intelligence and the physical ability to do it, you're not going to last through the first year. If you live in a harsh environment, you know, where you can't grow crops, I don't know how you're going to survive. If you live in an area where animals can't graze freely because you don't have somebody 60 miles away delivering your oat hay to you, you know, every 3 months, I don't know how you're going to survive. I really don't. The cities will turn cancerous and eat themselves alive, and eventually the food will spoil, be controlled by whoever has the most force, whether it's UN, NATO, whatever. I don't care who the enemy is. It matters not who our enemy is. You need to get to places where you can do these things. And all of the wise men and heads of their families that I know are already doing that. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm here. I could have gone back to L.A. I could have, you know, and stayed in the same state as my daughter and still had visitation rights and all that. But I knew where God wanted me to be. It just made common sense, too. It wasn't just a little voice inside me saying, this is where you need to be, Dutch. These people here are going in the right direction. It was just common sense. When I looked around and I saw the abundance of what God's nature had created. I mean, we have 40 to 50 turkey roaming around, just living off the land. We don't have to put them in a pen. They're wild turkey. We got a couple dozen deer. We got more quail. Remember in the Old Testament when they complained they weren't getting enough meat and God sent the quail? He's done that here. I could shoot me up 30 or 40 quail a day, and I don't think it would put a dent in the population here. Now, we have to be wise stewards of our populations that God gives us to be steward, you know, to have dominion over. So we need to add to that. We don't go through and wipe out all the deer the first season because of what happens the next season. We know how many to cull and how many to leave. And that's, you know, the purpose of the show is to share the gospel with you, because everything you need to know is in the Bible about survival. You just gotta read it and have a mind that understands, you know, how to get through some of the old English language that's in the King James Bible. But everything you need in there, needs to survive, is in there. And listen to better men than me. Listen to better, way better shows than this. Watch cooking shows. I love PBS. What is it? Mother Earth magazine? That's a hippie magazine, right? Environmentalist magazine. I've learned so much just from going to the library and reading that every month. I don't subscribe to it because I don't subscribe to any magazines anymore. I just go read them free and if there's something in there I want, I spend a nickel or something at the little machine and make copies of it. So that I have hard copies of what they're doing in there. Hydroponics, you know, the marijuana growers in the cities are doing hydroponics. That's a skill you need to learn. You know, and maybe it'll come to a time when we will have electricity, but we'll be under an occupational government and we'll have to grow our food indoors to hide it. Just like, was it Samuel that was under the wine press? Was hiding under the wine press when they were looking for him when he was grinding the wheat? Was it Samuel? Okay, it's a great story. Great biblical lesson about the biblical doctrine of deception. When the enemy comes and takes the food from your fields, you got to find another place to grow it and store it and harvest it. And they're already doing that. It's already basically illegal to have your own food co-ops or food storage facilities. We see it happening. Sometimes they jump the gun and do it. Are you looking it up, Lou? The lesson of the gleaning the wheat or something? Not gleaning, grinding of the wheat under the wine press where he was hidden, instead of doing it in the mill, because they knew that the government would come and take an unfair more than they needed, and it wouldn't leave enough for him to feed his family. I'm pretty sure it was. Lou's gonna find it. Lou will find it. Yeah, he's trying to read it. That's okay. But anyway, we learn all those things, and yet we, in our own lives, we just figure somebody else is going to take care of it for us, right? Isn't that what happens? Well, it's always somebody else is going to do it. The government, welfare, the parents. You know, more parents ruin the future society by babying their kids than anything else. Was it Joash? Joash was... Okay, Joash. Anyway, that's something maybe I'll look up for tomorrow's lesson. That would be a good lesson, because that was a great... And then I want to talk about the lady who put the tent peg through the king's head with a hammer. For you ladies out there that think you don't have a role in the militia, the Bible is full of great women. And when she took that king, gave him some milk and put him to bed, and then snuck up on him and put a tent peg through his head because he was an enemy of her, you know, an enemy of the people of God. Yeah, women got a role to play too, folks, and it's not just canning. It's not, Social Security. People are dependent upon Social Security for their retirement now. Talk about a big lie sold to the people by a socialist Fabian socialist. Anyway, winding it down here, folks. I hope I shared some things that made sense. The heat's killing us here, so I know I may just build a verbal bridge to nowhere sometimes. But stay with me. You guys, you know I don't... The things I tell you are not usually just off the top of my head. They're usually conclusions that have been reached through research, study, listening to good people teach. I don't come up with most of this stuff unless I'm talking about things from my past. It's things that have been proven and tested by much better people than we are. You know, we don't deserve to win. We don't deserve to be free. But God gave us that right to be free, right? We don't deserve salvation, but God gave it to us anyway. Why are there evil men? Because men are evil. Why do bad things happen in the world? Not because God lets it happen, but because God loves us enough to give us free will. It's like allowing your kid to have enough rope to hang himself, you know? how else are we going to learn? If we were all a bunch of robots, what a pathetic world this would be. I don't want to be a cherubim or you know, some creation that isn't, you know, that's run by remote control. I am thankful that the Lord made us flawed so that we can experience, we can love, we can hate, we can win, we can lose. What a terrible world we would live in if everything was perfect. It'd probably be like Belgium. Or maybe Canada. Yeah. And the only thing I hate worse than Belgians are Canadians. Yeah. When I was younger, I used to do stand-up comedy in the town I grew up in. Because, you know, if you got up, told a joke, sang a song, you'd get free food. So I'd go around to these open mic places when I was a teenager, and I'd tell Canadian. I said I was an amateur Canadian. And I'd get up there with my big floppy hat on, and I'd just tell Canadian jokes. And then I found out about Belgium. But we do what we got to do, folks. But we got to make sure that what we're doing are within the parameters of what's outlined in our Holy Scripture. All Holy Scripture. All Holy Scripture. You can't throw out the New Testament because you don't like the touchy-feely Jesus Christ stuff. And you can't throw out the law in the Old Testament because there's some kind of new covenant. Jesus himself said that all Scripture is to be followed. He did not come to destroy the law. Remember that? Those of you that actually read the Bible. So many people don't read the Bible and call themselves Christians. It'd be like me saying, yeah, I'm a Formula One driver. Really? How'd you do that? Did you go to school for it? No. I just bought the uniform. That's what Christians are doing in America today. I'm a Christian. Really? Did you read the Bible? Nah. I just like wearing the label. When it fits. I put the label away when it's not, you know, when I'm around my buddies at the bowling alley. But, yeah. Yeah, I'm an astronaut. Oh, you are? Really? Did you go to astronaut school? Nah. Just bought the helmet.
And a cowboy hat.
You know. I went to NASA once, so I'm... you know, I really like NASA, so I'm an astronaut now. Yeah, I watch the NASA channel whenever I can. I cried when Skylab fell. That's the kind of Christians we have in America today. I'm an Olympic gymnast. Really? Really? You've been training since a kid? No. I just watch a lot of Olympics. Yeah, I'm an Olympic, you know, I could go get one if I wanted. I could compete. Christians do the same thing. Yeah, I'm a Christian. Oh, really? Do you go to church? No, I don't have to. I watch this show on TV. Some guy, you know, what's his name? Pastor, I don't even know his name. Kenneth Copeland or Benny Hinn or, you know. So I'm a Christian. Yeah. I donate to the Salvation Army like in Christmas time. I'm a Christian. So you're not. I hate to tell you, you know, you say, oh, you can't tell somebody they're not a Christian. I judge people by the fruit that they produce. That I can judge. That I'm allowed to look at and go, you're not a very fruitful Christian. So, folks, we'll be back tomorrow. We'll do 2 hours on something, probably making fun of Belgians. This has been the Dutch Jones Radio Program. And you need to know this. I'm sincere in everything I do, and if I screw up and make a mistake, it's only because I'm excited about being with you every day. I miss you guys when I can't be with you. Thank you for your prayers. Those of you that have, whoever put the $25 up, I forgot to look. Thank you. I will look at that later, see who donated the $25. We need your financial support. With all these fans on, the power bill is going to be huge. So, folks, help us out if you can. But if not, if you can't help us financially, pray for us. So, may the Lord bless you and all you do in the holy cause of liberty. And we'll be back tomorrow. It's an awesome God.